All right, here we go. BT and Sal back on the fan. BT will be back with us tomorrow after a couple of days off. 5 hours to go until the trade deadline. What will the Mets and Yankees do? You have an opportunity. Look, it's different for the Yankees. We understand where the Yankees are at. We know their history, obviously. And they do need to make a big move. Make no mistake about it. But I do get the feeling that the Yankees know that they have to make the big move and will be active in trying to make that big move. The question for the Yankees has never been, will they make the move? It's, will they make the right move? With the Mets, it's still, will they make the move? Going all in, and again, even though the Yankees maybe didn't go into the extent that we would have wanted, let's say, you know, Luis Castillo versus Frankie Montas, they still go in. Like, even getting Montas at that point was an all-in move. You know, those are big boy moves to try to better your team to go out there and win a World Series. They've made the wrong moves. You know, Gallo, you know, Rizzo wasn't the wrong move necessarily, but trading for Joey Gallo, those are aggressive moves. The Yankees have been aggressive. They're always aggressive. Some moves work out, some moves don't. But you respect the aggression. With the Mets, they're not aggressive enough. This year, Stearns has shown you he's very aggressive. Guys don't get the job done. See ya. Bye-bye. He'll cut him. Doesn't matter. DFA, you don't get the job done, we're moving on. Love that. But will he be aggressive at the deadline? I'm not talking about Stanek or Winker. And those were, I'm not trying to minimize those moves. Those are important moves. Maton, Stanek, and Winker. Important moves. But not the all-in big boy type move. Not the king-like move that the Mets are in need of to get to that next level. So that's why there's a difference between the two teams. And we'll see. And based on some of the reporting and some of the gut feel, it seems like the Yankees have a big move up their sleeve. And it's not going to be with the lineup like everybody thought, bringing in Vladdy or McMahon or whatever it may be. Jazz is here, and the lineup should be pretty much set. And if something happens, let's say to Stanton, yeah, maybe they bring, not maybe, they bring up Dominguez. Maybe they get a bench piece here at the deadline. I see the Yankees making a couple different moves or making a move for multiple players, adding a depth bench piece. But they're not going to get a big difference maker, I wouldn't imagine, at this point in their starting lineup. Starting rotation, bullpen, that's a different story. And that's exactly what the Mets need to do. Tony, oh, hold on a second, Tony. What do we got here, Hoff?
We got our first Mets move of the day.
Okay.
The New York Mets are sending Josh Walker to the Pirates. He was DFA'd the other day.
Hoff, if I didn't want to get in trouble by the bosses, I would walk into the studio or into the control room there and punch you in, you know, I was going to say the face, but that might be too harsh, punch you in the arm. What are you doing? You're messing with people. Me in particular.
It's been 3 hours and we've got nothing. That is the best.
Who the hell is Josh Walker?
He was a left-handed pitcher that we had for a while.
Yeah, but, you know, I understand that, but you get the point. What'd they get back?
No, nothing. He was DFA'd, so they just kind of handed him over. Maybe cash consideration.
It's deadline day. You can't be doing that.
We need something, Sal. Please, make a move.
I understand that. Don't come with the sirens. You got me excited. I told you today, no messing around with those damn sirens. Josh Walker. Tony is calling from Colts Neck. What's up, Tony?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm going to throw something out there. I know Stearns is a value guy. How about thinking about Chris Bassett, since there's a fire sale going on in Toronto? And one other thing, what about Trevor Bauer for half a season?
Yeah, I mean, multiple people have brought this up during the course of the week, Tony, and thank you for the call. Somebody else also brought up Bassett earlier in the week. He's not a difference maker to me. He wasn't when he was here. He was good in the regular season, but then in the postseason when the Mets needed him, and that's what they need now, a guy who's going to perform in the postseason, Bassett was terrible. So I don't trust him. I don't think that's the move to make. Would I be opposed to bringing him back? No, but that's not the difference-making move I'm looking for. That's just another arm in the rotation. Now, he might be better than some of the other names that have been floated out there, but he's not the guy. The Mets need a top guy. Why is it always going to be a C-level guy, a B-minus? Go get the A-plus guy, like Cespedes at the deadline in 15. That's what they need. Not Stanek or Maton. Those are like Bs and Cs at best. They need an A-plus. Bassett's not that. And enough with the Bauer stuff. Like, I'm sick of it. We've done Trevor Bauer. We had him on in studio. We talked about it leading up to the season, first month of the season. Enough. Bauer is not the answer anymore. Let it go. certainly not with the Mets. And just, it's not the right time for Trevor. There's 50 games in the season left. You're not bringing in Trevor Bauer now. Also, whether I would or wouldn't, and I wouldn't at this particular case, it doesn't matter because it's very clear that Trevor Bauer is not going to be back in Major League Baseball anytime soon, if ever again. He had an opportunity. I thought he showed humility. I thought he took accountability. We know what he could be as a pitcher. Multiple teams could have gotten him for free, basically. He wanted to be in the big leagues. Nobody bit. It's not happening. So I think we got to move on. Like, at some point, can we move on all together from Trevor Bauer? I'm there now. I'm there. I don't want to hear about Bauer anymore. Zach is calling from Monroe. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are you, Zach?
I understand you're like a big Mets fan and stuff, but like, I'm kind of confused. Like, it seems like you think the Mets are closer than the Yanks to being a World Series contender. And I mean, we do have Juan Soto, the two best players maybe in the league on our team. And I think if we get a starting pitcher and a good bullpen arm, I mean, we're right there.
Yeah, Who said they weren't? Have you listened to the show? I don't know what you're confused about.
No, I've been listening for the last hour or so, but it seems all Mets, this.
Yeah, but I told you.
I think the Yankees are much closer than the Mets. I mean, we're 18 games above 500.
I understand.
And a game out of a division.
I understand that, but you're not listening. I explained many times why I was focusing on the Mets.
I may have missed it, so I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's okay, but let me just explain to you, because we've been talking Yankees as well. What I was saying is I expect the Yankees to make a big move. With the Mets, yeah, they haven't shown that they could be that yet. The Yankees, okay. It's not a question of will they make a big move? Yes, you can. Well, let me just finish.
Okay.
It's not a question of will the Yankees make a move. It's who the Yankees will get and will it be the right move. Whereas with the Mets,
yeah,
they need to make a big move. That's the difference, but nobody's going to argue that and by the way, the Mets are coming from lowered expectations. They need to get to that level. To your point, the Yankees are at that level, and with the right moves, they certainly can be a World Series team. Now, go ahead. What's your other point?
I wanted to say, any shot the Yankees would do what you were talking about with the Mets, with Skubal and Baez?
I don't think so, because the Yankees, Zach, and you would know this as a Yankee fan, the owner...
That would be an all-in move, though.
Yes, but the owner continues to talk about the luxury tax threshold. And to get... Yeah. And thank you for the call. To be able to get Skubal... Now, the Yankees have better prospects than the Mets, meaning, like, if they gave... Let's say the Yankees said, yeah, we want Skubal, but we'll give you Dominguez and... We'll give you Dominguez and Spencer Jones, and the Tigers say, okay, well, you got to take back Javi Baez as well. The Yankees are going to be willing to take on the Baez contract. That's why I thought it was a better fit for the Mets. However, if the Yankees were willing to part with both Dominguez and Spencer Jones, maybe that's something that would intrigue the Tigers about Skubal. You never know. Maybe they'd say, you know what, that's more appealing than getting ourselves out from under the Baez contract. But the Baez contract example, that was exclusive, really, to the Mets. I don't think the Yankees would do that. It's exclusive to the Mets because I think that their owner would be willing to be open to that more so than trading the top prospects. Plus, they don't have the prospects like the Yankees do with Dominguez and Jones. But you bring up an interesting point. If the Yankees were to be in on Skubal, they could, by giving up Dominguez and Jones, I would think, make that an appealing deal. The other thing is the Yankees don't need a top-of-the-rotation starter. They could use a starter, a number two starter, but they don't need Skubal the way the Mets do. I'm not saying you wouldn't want him instead of Flaherty, let's say, but the Yankees are better off paying a lesser price for a rental in Flaherty to have behind Gerrit Cole in that rotation than they are to go nuts and trade Spencer Jones and Dominguez, because it'd probably take that to get Skubal. Just like with the Mets, it would take, you know, them taking on $75 million of Baez and then some. Bob is calling from Tampa, Florida. What's up, Bob?
Not much. So I honestly believe, and I know you're gonna hit me hard on this, I don't think that Stearns or Cohn have any guts to make a good deal and get a good pitcher. I just don't think. That's what I'm starting to believe, whether it be this year, next year, or the year after.
Well,
they don't have the guts.
Well, Bob, first of all, I'm not going to hit you hard on this because I don't necessarily disagree yet. Forget about next year and beyond, the offseason, all. Let's worry about now. They have to prove that they have the guts to go all in. We haven't seen it.
To take the chance. They're afraid to take the chance.
Well, we don't know that yet.
Don't be so afraid.
They got 5 hours or just under 5 hours to go. What we do know is, Bob, where we saw Steve Cohen after he went for it in 2021 with Javi Baez trade, they pulled back in 2022 and did not go all in with a team that was worthy of going all in. What will happen now? We're going to learn a lot. We don't know. You could feel the way that you feel. I could feel the way that I feel. But we'll see it. We're going to learn what they do by their actions in under 5 hours.
Well, I hope you're right, because I'll tell you something. It's come to the point where it gets very, very frustrating. They're always one or two ball players short, where they're really, when they're competitive, that they don't do the right things. And sometimes in life, we have to take chances.
Correct. I agree with you, Bob, and thank you for the call. And by the way, I would lean more with you. A part of me believes in Steve Cohen and knows that he would go all in, but also a part of me understands that he was scared after 2021. I'm going based off of what I saw in 2022, where they didn't go all in with a team that should have won the division and won 101 games. And if you don't go all in then, when the hell are you going to do it? And then that's why we fast forward to today and bring everything together. Stearns has been an aggressive general manager. And this is the first, or president, whatever you want to call him, Pobo. This is the first year we're getting a chance. We're evaluating him. He's evaluating the team. We're evaluating him. And this is the first trade deadline with David Stearns. So we don't know. I don't care what he did in Milwaukee. That doesn't matter. He's here now in New York. That's what we care about. So you could have your gut feel. I could have my gut feel. We're going to see by the actions that are made by 6 o'clock today. We're learning. We're still evaluating Stearns. And the time to evaluate general managers are the free, you know, the offseason, free agency, and trade deadline. This is a big day for David Stearns and where the Mets are at as a franchise. We've seen Cohen do it both ways so far. How much does he believe in this team? How much do they believe in this team? Do they have the guts to make the big move? I'm with you, Bob. They need to. That's been the theme of the show. They need to have the guts and go all in. This team deserves that. They've earned that. Will the owner and president supply them with the all-in move? Will they have the guts to do it? Or will they act small market? Brandon is calling from Long Island. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for making it. What's up, dude?
Hey, so I'm going to make a comment, and then I'm going to the Yankees seem to always get shafted every trade deadline. It's like teams don't want to – it just seems to me that teams just don't want to trade with the Yankees. You know, if I mean, do you agree?
I don't. I mean, give me some examples on that. I feel like the Yankees are always making big moves.
They're making moves, but like you said before, they're always the wrong moves. You know, Gallo.
Yeah, Montas. I mean, I get it. And there's been plenty of others. But what do you mean by teams don't want to trade with them? Maybe they have to pay a little bit of a Yankee tax. But give me the
Yankee tax. There you go. Right. Yankees are a good chance with the Yankee tax.
Maybe. But the Yankees make these trades. You know, as much as we say there were the bad moves, right? Like bringing in Montas clearly wasn't the right guy. What have they given up over the years that you've been like, I can't believe they gave up this guy? Of all the trades that they've made, when have the Yankees really gotten burnt by giving up somebody that turned out to be a stud?
Nobody. You're right. Nobody. Mike Tauchman, that's it.
Yeah, really. Like you, exactly. So think about that. So, no, I don't think so. You have to go back to the 80s where it happened regularly, it seemed, whether it's Fred McGriff or Doug Drabek. Like, that used to happen quite a bit with the Yankees. Now, I don't know, Jay Buhner. Now, I don't feel like that's the case with the Yankees. So, I don't think that other teams are reluctant to trade, but maybe they do hold them to a tougher price because they're the Yankees.
All I got to say is I hope at 6 o'clock Spencer Jones is not on the team and we get a really good bullpen arm. I mean, we really deserve a really, really, 1A type bullpen arm.
Yeah, I respect that, Brandon, and thank you for the call. You know, I would have traded Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. And a couple of weeks ago, even maybe as recently as last week, I said that the Yankees would be crazy to trade Jones or Dominguez investing in this team that looked dead. And now, obviously, they've turned the corner here the last four games offensively, winning a series in Boston, as crazy as that series was, and then pounding the Phillies last night. They look like they've turned a corner. I wouldn't go nuts either way. If they kept Spencer Jones, I'd be fine with it. Like, I'm assuming Dominguez is going to be off the table. If they kept Spencer Jones, I'd be fine with it. If they decided that the right move was to trade him for a top arm, a difference-making arm, whether it's a bullpen arm or a starter, I'd be okay with that. I'd respect that. You can't hoard them all. And at some point, you've got to go over the top to get who you want. I'm still not sure. I think the Yankees are going to make a big move, but I don't think it's going to involve Spencer Jones. I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling the Yankees will get a big piece without having to give up, certainly Dominguez, but also Spencer Jones. Tony is in Deer Park. What's up, Tony?
Hey, brother. How are you?
Good. How are you, Tony?
Well, listen, I'm wondering, what do you think about this? The Mets and Yankees help each other out. Brett Beatty, Vanesta Cortez. What do you think about that?
I would not do that if I'm the Mets, Tony, and thank you for the call. I'm just trying to think through some things, stuff that I've heard and what I could say and what I can't say, and I'll just leave it at this. First of all, I would not do that from the Mets' perspective because you're giving up a young player with years of control in Brett Beatty, whether I think he's going to be good or not, and I don't believe that Beatty's going to be a legit major leaguer, but you have years of control, a young player with potential versus Nestor Cortez, who is a back end of the rotation guy who probably hit his peak with the Yankees. So I would not do that from a Mets perspective. From a Yankees perspective, I also don't think that that move makes sense because while they could trade Nestor Cortez, what use is Brett Beatty going to do for the Yankees right now? They already have their infield help with the addition of Jazz. He's playing third base now. I mean, unless it was pivoting somewhere else, you know, you'd then trade Glaber somewhere else, but you're talking about bringing Brett Beatty into the mix for the Yankees who are trying to win a World Series, a guy who's unproven. That's not the player that the Yankees are looking to acquire. You want to say Jeff McNeil? Different story. But again, I wouldn't do that either for Nestor Cortez. It'd have to be more than that. I don't think that's the right fit. I understand why you would say that, but I don't think that's the right fit for either team. I wouldn't do that if I'm the Yankees either. Not that I value Cortez more than Beatty, because I think just sheer value of baseball, you know, equity, you'd rather have the young player with promise under control than Nestor Cortez at this point. But maybe the Yankees could trade Cortez somewhere else and get a younger player that might be able to help them down the road, or that they could turn into something else in a trade. I mean, I guess they could do that with Beatty too, turn him into a trade. But either way, I don't think that that's the perfect fit. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back, have more of your calls on the other side. Call of the day as well.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on the Fan.
Today's call of the day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Ryan is calling from NYC. What's up, Ryan?
Hi, I have an answer for Hoff's hubcap problem.
Oh, yeah, Hoff's hubcap issue. In case you missed that, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Go ahead.
I have a station car I use for work. I drive in the city, and if he knows how to use a caulking gun, he just needs to take some clear silicone, put a bead around his hubcap, hit it on with a mallet, and leave it overnight, and it'll never pop off again. It will pop off if he needs to change it.
All right, well, there you go. Thank you for solving that problem, Ryan. So there you go, Hoff. Spend the $85. Go get the hubcaps. Get a little silicone there. Use the caulk gun.
I'll pass it on to my wife.
Come on, Hoff. Can you change a tire?
Wait a second. Yeah. Didn't you call your wife up to change a tire?
No. I called her to sit in the car while the guy had to come and change the tire.
Okay.
I don't change the tires. I can't do it.
Right. Oh, can you caulk your hubcap?
No. I mean, well, if I had to, could I? Yeah, those things can be tricky. You got to cut off the tip of the caulk and then put it in the gun. I used to sell them when I worked at Home Depot. I probably could figure that out.
You sold caulks?
Yes. All right, there you have it, caller of the day. We also have a trade here with the Yankees. It's not a big one, so don't get too excited. Yankees are going to acquire Mark Leiter Jr. How about that? I think the nephew of Al. Yankees have a deal in place. I'm reading this. Who has this here? This is according to Jeff Passan. Yankees have a deal in place to acquire right-hander Mark Leiter Jr. from the Cubs. In return, the Cubs will receive infielder Ben Cowles and right-hander Jack Neely. Okay, so I've never heard of either of those names. What are we looking at, Hoff, as far as Mark Leiter's season with the Cubs?
All right, Mark Leiter, I believe he was hurt at some point in time this season. So okay. It's 30, 36 innings pitched. His ERA is a 4.21, whip a 1.1, not bad. Strikeouts 53, walks 13.
Okay, and remember, too, the Yankees have had a knack. We rip Cashman a lot, but the Yankees have had a knack for finding these guys, these bullpen arms, who everybody's like, yeah, whatever, never heard of this guy, and turning them into weapons. So I'm not going to put it past them. Who knows, but... at least you have Mark Leiter Jr. there, a new arm in the Yankee bullpen. Not the ideal arm or the big move that we're looking for, but still plenty of time to go here. Maybe not plenty of time now as we get closer and closer to 6 o'clock, 4.5 hours away here from the trade deadline. But the Yankees made a minor move. All right, let's get back to the phones here. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Val, how you doing? Good, I got to tell you, this is nerve-wracking. I've been nervous all day. I used to go up saying, my dream to be GM of the Mets. No thanks. Let them do that.
You know what's funny, Chris? It's funny you say that because I've had the good fortune of being able to know some former general managers. And yesterday, and we'll have the same panel again tonight on Baseball Night in New York at 6 o'clock.
Good.
And it should be a great one because we're on right after the trade deadline at 6 or right as the deadline is going on. And we have Jim Duquette, Andy Martino, and Billy Epler. So when talking to those guys, both off and on the air, but you can feel the angst and excitement and nervous energy. Like, it's really, it really is fun to get their perspective. And, Billy was talking yesterday, there's the calm before the storm the morning of, but you've got all these irons in the fire and trying to work it out. It really is a fascinating time. I'm sure a crazy time for a baseball general manager.
It is. Look, I mean, this is the reason we have a David Stern. I mean, we got one of the best in baseball. He's here for these, to make these tough decisions. Sal, two quick things. I understand completely the balance of the prospect, and you're right. Like, a lot of them don't work out. Some of them do. Like, just for context, obviously we know on the Mets, the ones that have hit have helped us this year. And then Pete Crow Armstrong's hitting 193 so far. So
give me a break, Pete Crow Armstrong. You know what? That prevent you from trading somebody else?
No, I understand. The balance is everything, and understanding to seize the opportunity. But Sal, the thing about Blake Snell, I don't know why nobody wanted this guy in the offseason. Why do we want a guy with a 5 ERA who's a 5-inning pitcher? I don't trust that guy. I don't know why everyone's so amped up. I got plenty of 5-inning pitchers with a 5 ERA. McGill. What do I need Blake Snell for?
No, here's why. Because he's got the potential. First of all, because the Mets are desperate for a top starter. He's done it before. I mean, the guy's won multiple Cy Young Awards. I mean, I'm with you, Chris. I don't love... If this were signing Blake Snell to a 6-year, $200-plus million deal, I'd be with you. I want no part of it. This is basically a rental. If they're lucky, and he might, if Blake Snell... See, Blake Snell is highly motivated, who has produced at a high level before. If the Mets trade for him, and he is successful here in a pennant race, no less, he's going to opt out and potentially get big money elsewhere. So he's motivated to pitch well to maybe get more money than if he opts in to his second year of that 2-year deal.
Okay, but then I would say then let's go for Crochet or Scrubel. I'd rather let's go for the elite then. Like, to me, I don't know. I'm leery about a move like this because it feels like we're hedging our bet.
Those guys are going to cost way more. I understand it, Chris. Oops, sorry, and thank you for the call. They're going to call. I told you, my first choice would be Scooball. It might not be realistic. There may be nothing the Mets could do to get Scooball away from the Tigers. There might be nothing they could do about it. I would try. I would do everything I could. But we don't know. Blake Snell, I'm trying to pull up his game log here, his recent game log, because I know he wasn't very good to start the year. Okay. Last time out, he went 6 innings, struck out 15. 6 innings, no runs, 2 hits, 15 strikeouts. Start before that, not very good against the Dodgers. He went 6 innings. Well, not very good. 6 innings, only 4 strikeouts, and allowed just 2 runs. So think about that. I'm saying not very good. Well, it's in comparison to his dominant start last time, but 6 innings, 2 runs, you'd take that. Prior to that, 7 innings against Minnesota, 1 hit, no runs. Prior to that, against Toronto, 5 innings, 1 hit, no runs. So Blake Snell, his last 4 starts... 5 innings, no runs, 7 innings, no runs, 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 innings, no runs. I mean, that's ace-like. And again, you're getting him, because you're going to be willing to take on his contract, you're getting him for less prospects than you would normally get a pitcher of that caliber. Even if you have to give up a prospect or two, it's not going to be the top guys that it would be for Scooball. I don't trust him long-term either. But short term, 50 games on into the postseason, a guy who's been proven in the postseason, a proven Cy Young Award winner who's motivated to make big money, that's the move. That, to me, I don't even want Flaherty. At this point, it's Skubal, which is like the impossible dream, or Snell. Snell's the guy. It's a short-term thing. You're not going to mortgage the future. It's mostly financial, and you're getting a top starter. I get it. I don't love him either. But for the rest of the season, basically a rental, even if he did opt in next year, it's still not the worst thing. And that's worst-case scenario that he wants to opt in. And you pay him, what, $35 million, but you're getting a top starter for a year who's also highly motivated. Then you let him go. I'd make that move now. That would be the one to get. Artie is in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, bud? Look, I understand how a Mets fan would want to make a move because how well they played. But you also got to understand this team, even with the top starter, is not going to be better than the Phillies. They're not going to be better than the Dodgers. You don't know what they're asking for. So if Stearns doesn't make that move for the pitcher, the guy's calling and saying he's got no guts. I mean, really? And you agree with the guy?
Yeah, if you
saying, yes.
You have to go all in. How do you know that they're not going to beat the Phillies or the Dodgers?
How do you go all in on a team that just lost their best pitcher?
He hasn't been part of the team all year. He's been no impact on the team. He hasn't been on all year. What are you talking about, lost their best pitcher? He wasn't even here to lose. Senga's been irrelevant.
Hang on a second. Senga's not their best pitcher?
He hasn't pitched a game this year.
I know, but he's still the best pitcher on the team.
So what? There's six games over 500. Senga has nothing to do with them. Kodai Senga is the most irrelevant Met in 2024. He's got nothing to do with them. Why are you referencing him?
So why? I'm referencing him because you're going all in on a team that can barely make the darn wild card.
They're a half game back of the top wild card, Artie. Are you paying attention? Are you talking about Kodai Senga? Have you watched the Mets this year? Guy pitched six innings. You think he's going to make or break the season? Come on. He's had nothing to do with this season. The Mets have been 11 games under 500, started 0-5, bounced all the way back, took the top wild card spot in the National League, bounced back, now a half game behind the top wild card spot yet again, all without Kodai Senga. And you're worried about him? Like that's going to be the thing that's going to prevent the Mets from making a big move? And you're saying so confidently they can't beat the Phillies or the Dodgers? How? Why? What did you say last year about the Diamondbacks, Artie? I bet you were saying the same thing. They can't beat the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks can't beat the Dodgers. But yet they did. They went to the World Series. Did you say that about the Phillies a couple years ago when the Mets and Braves were 14 games better than them? Battling all year long back and forth for the NL East, the Phillies were an afterthought. What were you saying then? The Phillies can't beat the Braves. The Phillies can't beat the Mets. Wrong. They got to the World Series. So why would you not want to see this team that is right there? They're right there in a playoff spot to date. A half game back of the top wild card spot right now. With a minor league bullpen without their ace, Kodai Senga, all year long. Brooks Raley went down. Drew Smith went down. Ottavino's been minimal impact on. He's basically given him nothing. All the guys out there. Diaz was suspended for 10 games, and he had his ups and downs crying and was awful early in the year. I mean, the Mets have had almost everything go wrong. Alonso has done nothing this year. McNeil did nothing until the All-Star break. He had a good week, and we're acting as if Jeff McNeil is back. One good week. Marte's been out the entire year. Nimmo had three hot weeks. Alvarez was out a month and a half or 2 months. Is there any more we could pile on to the top of this? Is that possible? And yet with all this stuff that's happened, the New York Mets are six games over 500 in the postseason position right now. This is the exact time to go for it. If you don't go for it and go all in, you're doing yourselves and the fan base a major disservice. And or do you want them to give up on the season because Kodai Senga, he went down. After all that stuff that I just referenced and all they've accomplished, you want to give up because Kodai Senga went down. Their ace, as you say. That's pathetic. This better be a good one, Hoff, because I'm not in the mood anymore.
All right, well, the Yankees have signed somebody else.
Signed somebody else?
They brought in Brett Phillips.
What?
Yeah, from the Tampa Bay Rays.
What are you doing?
That's what they're doing.
What are you doing with the sirens?
I have to break it. The Red Sox made a move, too. They traded for Lucas Sims, reliever.
I've never heard of these guys.
Well, that's the guys that are out there right now. Brett Phillips is a minor leaguer, utility player. He did pitch an inning against the Yankees, though, earlier in the season, I think.
We're going to have a talk after this. We'll come back and finish up on the phone. I got to talk to Hoff. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT will be back with me tomorrow after enjoying a couple off days, and we'll be back tomorrow filling in for Evan and Tiki in the afternoon. So we'll be on after the Yankee game. Recap all that happens today at the trade deadline, and both games will be on radio right after the Yankee game here on the Fan, and then simulcast on SNY after the Met game as well. So a fun day for BT and I. That is tomorrow. I got to tell you one thing about the deadline that is just so annoying. I've got people texting me. First of all, Hoff. Is Hoff in there? The siren use. Like, we've got to clean that up because I'm getting texts about it. One of my cousins texted me, get him off the siren. Hector in Washington Heights, is Hoff trolling? What the hell? Like, you got to understand, and even me, like, when BT and I, when we hear that siren, no matter how many times you mess with us and joke around, which I think can be funny at times, but a day like today, it's not like, when you hear the siren, it's like, oh, we get excited like something might be happening. And you've 0-for-2 today. Like, you haven't even delivered.
Well,
Josh Smoker, what'd you say his name was? Well, Josh Walker?
Was he
another player? Josh Walker.
That's what's been going on. That's
Mark
the
Leiter would have been worthy of a siren.
Well, you ruined that.
You told me about it. What do you mean I took it for myself? You told me about it.
During the break, like, we could set that up and say,
you shouldn't have said anything. You should know by now. If I didn't see it during the break, if I did, I'd be like, oh, the Yankees made a trade. If I didn't, you could come on and break in with it. Mark Leiter would have been worthy of it. And then I got my uncle texting me, yo, Sal, what's up, bro? It's 1:30 on a Tuesday. Yeah, no crap, Uncle John. Like, I'm working right now. I understand. He goes, what's going on? Have you heard anything about trades? Anything happened? I've been watching all bleeping night. I'm waiting for a trade. What do you think's happening? Anything good? Yanks just got Leiter. Yeah, Uncle John, I know. I'm on top of it, all right? I'm just like you. Like, if it happens, I find out about it. I don't know what's going on. Wait, like everybody else. What do you think? I got inside information? Come on.
But does he know about Brett Phillips?
I still don't know about Brett Phillips. I don't know about Brett Phillips. Come on. You better be careful, Hoff, with that siren. I know BT won't be having any of that. One thing, when I'm here, you might be able to get away with that nonsense. BT's back. He's going to restore the order tomorrow.
Yeah, it'd be better to be apologizing to Lindor. It's the first thing out of his mouth.
We'll get there eventually. All right, let's finish up on the phones here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steven is calling from Harlem. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? I'm the guy who calls you out once a month to talk about Rodon, but I just wanted to react to Mark Leiter real quick.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, he's not a lefty, but and I know you don't want to split hairs too much in the season, but the ERA I don't think really shows how good he could be for us.
Agreed. I was just looking up his game log. I think you're right. He's had some good spurts, and he hasn't allowed an earned run, if I'm looking at this right, since June 19th.
And that's Baltimore, St. Louis, Arizona. We're talking playoff teams, and it seems like he has strikeout stuff just based on the numbers. I'm not going to pretend I'm a Cubs fan and I watch them often, mm-hmm. but it seems like he's a strikeout guy from the pin, which he was a lefty. Still needs to get another lefty arm, but it's a good move.
53 Ks and 36 and a third inning. So, yeah, I mean, the numbers would indicate that. You're right, it's not about an ERA, and thanks for the call, Steven. And as I said before, Brian Cashman has, you know, a knack. Like, we've heard about the top bullpen arms available. Mark Leiter Jr. was not one of those, but Brian Cashman has had a knack for finding guys like he did with Clay Holmes and making something out of him and maybe using him in a different spot or however it may be, figuring out a better pitch mix or whatever. But this seems to be a power arm with the strikeouts, as you mentioned. 53 strikeouts in just 36 and a third innings. Forget the ERA. He has not allowed a run, period, since June 19th. In a span of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. Now, he could give you a little more length than just an inning. He's gone an inning in 2/3 at times. So you get maybe through 2 innings or some extra outs if needed. But he's not just a clear 1-inning guy. I'm sure Mark Leiter Jr. will help out the bullpen a little bit. It's still not the big move that we've been waiting for, but it should not be a move that should be minimized. Hoff, you're going to get punched in the face if this isn't legit.
This is a real trade. Trevor Rogers is on the move.
Okay.
He's going to the Orioles.
Trevor Rogers, the starter from the Marlins.
Yes.
You were rolling the dice right there. But that's a good one. That's an actual trade.
Yeah, it is.
If you were messing with me there, you were about to get popped.
I haven't messed with you all day.
Oh, no, come on.
These are the
trades. Brett Phillips, I mean, come on, dude. All right, so Tanner Rogers from
the Marlins.
Trevor Rogers from the Marlins is on the move. He was a guy that was brought up certainly with the Mets earlier in the day. He is now going to the Orioles. So the Orioles get a starting pitcher. As the Marlins continue their sale here, and obviously more to go with Tanner Scott, where is he going to be dealt? As we said earlier, some trades will happen, but the bigger name is going to be, you would think, closer to the trade deadline. You would think. So obviously we got about 4 hours to go. David is in Manhattan. Good one, Hop. David is in Manhattan. What's up, David?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. First of all, I got to say, I love the dynamic with you and BT, and I don't know if I'm going to say this, BT's not here, but I love it even more when you're by yourself. You got a I don't know. It's just dynamic. It's awesome. I love it.
Well, I appreciate it, but we look forward to getting BT back tomorrow. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to hear your opinion on just a thought I had. I don't appreciate when people come and say like these big wild things. But I just wanted to say that when I see the Yankees, I kind of feel like it looks to me like a gambler who is just chasing his losses. Almost, I feel like for the Yankees to succeed, they got to just restart. Forget that they were the Kings. Forget that they were the best. I just want to hear your opinion on that, because to me, they're always chasing something. A good team doesn't chase something. A good team naturally plays well. It's been 15 years since the World Series. I'm saying it's been a long time. And I feel, honestly, I want to hear your opinion on this, that as long as you chase it, you're not going to get there, because you're not going to be what you were. You could create something new and they've got great players. But as long as they're chasing, I kind of feel the same thing with the Rangers. But, yeah, I just wanted to hear what you guys say about that.
It's interesting, David, and thank you for the call. I don't know if they're necessarily chasing what they once had or chasing a championship as opposed to trying to build a championship team. I mean, how do you differentiate between the two? I think the Yankees have shown discipline in years past, in recent years, and we as fans have been begging them to do more. Well, they've shown discipline, which shows that they're not chasing. Chasing, let's use it in the baseball term, right? When you chase, you're chasing something out of the zone. So if the Yankees were chasing, they'd be doing something out of their comfort to go try to win a World Series. They really don't want to do it, but they feel they have to, so they're chasing. Matter of fact, if anything, I would say that this year would be the closest to that, but we'll see what happens here in the next couple hours if the Yankees do give up, let's say, Spencer Jones, when you know that normally in years past they wouldn't, sometimes to a detriment. So I don't think that they've been, in your word, chasing a World Series.
Because how well they played, but you also got to understand, this team, even with the top starter, is not going to be better than the Phillies. They're not going to be better than the Dodgers. You don't know what they're asking for. So if Stearns doesn't make that move for the pitcher, the guy's calling and saying he's got no guts. I mean, really? And you agree with the guy?
Yeah. If
you're saying yes,
you have to go all in. How do you know that they're not going to beat the Phillies or the Dodgers?
How do you go all in on a team that just lost their best pitcher?
He hasn't been part of the team all year. He's been no impact on the team. He hasn't been on him all year. What are you talking about? Lost their best pitcher. He wasn't even here to lose. Senga's been irrelevant.
Hang on a second. Senga's not their best pitcher?
He hasn't pitched a game this year.
I know, but he's still the best pitcher on the team.
So what? They're 6 games over 500. Senga has nothing to do with them. Kodai Senga is the most irrelevant Met in 2024. He's got nothing to do with them. Why are you referencing him?
So why? I'm referencing him because you're going all in on a team that can barely make the darn wild card.
They're a half game back of the top wild card, Artie. Are you paying attention? Are you talking about Kodai Senga? Have you watched the Mets this year? Guy pitched six innings. You think he's going to make or break the season? Come on. He's had nothing to do with this season. The Mets have been 11 games under 500, started 0-5, bounced all the way back, took the top wild card spot in the National League, bounced back, now a half game behind the top wild card spot yet again, all without Kodai Senga. And you're worried about him? Like that's going to be the thing that's going to prevent the Mets from making a big move? And you're saying so confidently they can't beat the Phillies or the Dodgers? How? Why? What'd you say last year about the Diamondbacks, Artie? I bet you were saying the same thing. They can't beat the Dodgers! The Diamondbacks can't beat the Dodgers! But yet they did. They went to the World Series. Did you say that about the Phillies a couple years ago when the Mets and Braves were 14 games better than them? Battling all year long back and forth for the NL East, the Phillies were an afterthought. What were you saying then? The Phillies can't beat the Braves! The Phillies can't beat the Mets. Wrong. They got to the World Series. So why would you not want to see this team that is right there? They're right there in a playoff spot to date. A half game back of the top wild card spot right now. With a minor league bullpen without their ace, Kodai Senga, all year long. Brooks Raley went down. Drew Smith went down. Ottavino's been minimal impact on. He's basically given him nothing. All the guys out there. Diaz was suspended for 10 games, and he had his ups and downs crying and was awful early in the year. I mean, the Mets have had almost everything go wrong. Alonso has done nothing this year. McNeil did nothing until the All-Star break. He had a good week, and we're acting as if Jeff McNeil is back. One good week. Marte's been out the entire year. Nimmo had three hot weeks. Alvarez was out a month and a half or 2 months. Is there any more we could pile on to the top of this? Is that possible? And yet with all this stuff that's happened, the New York Mets are six games over 500 in the postseason position right now. This is the exact time to go for it. If you don't go for it and go all in, you're doing yourselves and the fan base a major disservice. And Artie, you want them to give up on the season because Kodai Senga, he went down. After all that stuff that I just referenced and all they've accomplished, you want to give up because Kodai Senga went down. Their ace, as you say. That's pathetic. This better be a good one, Hoff, because I'm not in the mood anymore.
All right, well, the Yankees have signed somebody else.
Signed somebody else?
They brought in Brett Phillips.
What?
Yeah, from the Tampa Bay Rays.
What are you doing?
That's what they're doing.
What are you doing with the sirens?
I have to break it. The Red Sox made a move, too. They traded for Lucas Sims, reliever.
I've never heard of these guys.
Well, that's the guys that are out there right now. Brett Phillips is a minor leaguer, utility player. He did pitch an inning against the Yankees, though, earlier in the season, I think.
We're going to have a talk after this. We'll come back and finish up on the phone. I got to talk to Hoff. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT will be back with me tomorrow after enjoying a couple off days, and we'll be back tomorrow filling in for Evan and Tiki in the afternoon. So we'll be on after the Yankee game. Recap all that happens today at the trade deadline, and both games will be on radio right after the Yankee game here on the Fan, and then simulcast on SNY after the Met game as well. So a fun day for BT and I. That is tomorrow. I got to tell you one thing about the deadline that is just so annoying. I've got people texting me. First of all, Hoff. Is Hoff in there? The siren use. Like, we've got to clean that up because I'm getting texts about it. One of my cousins texted me, get him off the siren. Hector in Washington Heights, is Hoff trolling? What the hell? Like, you got to understand, and even me, like, when BT and I, when we hear that siren, no matter how many times you mess with us and joke around, which I think can be funny at times, but a day like today, it's not like, when you hear the siren, it's like, oh, ooh, we get excited, like something might be happening. And you've 0 for 2 today. Like, you haven't even delivered.
Well,
Josh Smoker, what'd you say his name was? Well, Josh Walker?
Josh Walker, yes.
He another player? Josh, well, whatever. Josh Walker.
That's what's been going on. That's
Mark
the
Leiter
news.
Would have been worthy of a siren.
Well, you ruined that.
You told me about it. Now, what do you mean I took it for myself? You told me about it.
During the break, like, we could set that up and say,
hey, shouldn't have said anything. You should know by now. If I didn't see it during the break, if I did, I'd be like, oh, the Yankees made a trade. If I didn't, you could come on and break in with it. Mark Leiter would have been worthy of it. And then I got my uncle texting me, yo, Sal, what's up, bro? It's 1:30 on a Tuesday. Yeah, no crap, Uncle John. Like, I'm working right now. I understand. He goes, what's going on? Have you heard anything about trades? Anything happening? I've been watching all bleeping night. I'm waiting for a trade. What do you think's happening? Anything good? The Yanks just got Leiter. Yeah, Uncle John, I know. I'm on top of it, all right? I'm just like you. Like, if it happens, I find out about it. I don't know what's going on. Wait, like everybody else. What do you think? I got inside information? Come on.
But does he know about Brett Phillips?
I still don't know about Brett Phillips. I don't know about Brett Phillips. Come on. You better be careful, Hoff, with that siren. I know BT won't be having any of that. One thing, when I'm here, you might be able to get away with that nonsense. BT's back. He's going to restore the order tomorrow.
Yeah, it'd be better to be apologizing to Lindor. It's the first thing out of his mouth.
We'll get there eventually. We'll get there eventually. All right, let's finish up on the phones here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steven is calling from Harlem. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how you doing, Sal? I'm the guy who calls you out once a month to talk about Rodon, but I just wanted to react to Mark Leiter real quick.
Sure.
So, unfortunately, he's not a lefty, but and I know you don't want to split hairs too much in the season, but the ERA, I don't think, really shows how good he could be for us.
Agreed. I was just looking up his game log. I think you're right. He's had some good spurts, and he hasn't allowed an earned run, if I'm looking at this right, since June 19th.
And that's Baltimore, St. Louis, Arizona. We're talking playoff teams, and it seems like he has strikeout stuff just based on the numbers. I'm not going to pretend I'm a Cubs fan and I watch them often, mm-hmm. but it seems like he's a strikeout guy from the pen, which he was a lefty. Still needs to get another lefty arm, but it's a good move.
53 Ks and 36 and a third inning. So, yeah, I mean, the numbers would indicate that. You're right, it's not about an ERA, and thanks for the call, Steven. And as I said before, Brian Cashman has, you know, a knack. Like, we've heard about the top bullpen arms available. Mark Leiter Jr. was not one of those, but Brian Cashman has had a knack for finding guys like he did with Clay Holmes and making something out of him. And maybe using him in a different spot or however it may be, figuring out a better pitch mix or whatever. But this seems to be a power arm with the strikeouts, as you mentioned. 53 strikeouts and just 36 in a third innings. Forget the ERA. He has not allowed a run, period, since June 19th. In a span of 7 games. Now, he could give you a little more length than just an inning. He's gone an inning and 2/3 at times. So you get maybe through 2 innings or some extra outs if needed. But he's not just a clear 1-inning guy. I'm sure Mark Leiter Jr. will help out the bullpen a little bit. It's still not the big move that we've been waiting for, but it should not be a move that should be minimized. Hoff, you're going to get punched in the face if this isn't legit.
This is a real trade. Trevor Rogers is on the move.
Okay.
He's going to the Orioles.
Trevor Rogers, the starter from the Marlins.
Yes.
You were rolling the dice right there. But that's a good one. That's an actual trade.
Yeah, it is.
If you were messing with me there,
you were about to get popped. I haven't messed with you all day.
Oh, no, come on. Brett Phillips, I mean, come on, dude. All right, so Tanner Rogers from
Trevor.
I'm getting it mixed up. Trevor Rogers from the Marlins is on the move. He was a guy that was brought up certainly with the Mets earlier in the day. He is now going to the Orioles. So the Orioles get a starting pitcher. As the Marlins continue their sale here, and obviously more to go with Tanner Scott, where is he going to be dealt? As we said earlier, some trades will happen, but the bigger name is going to be, you would think, closer to the trade deadline. You would think. So obviously we got about 4 hours to go. David is in Manhattan. Good one, Hoff. David is in Manhattan. What's up, David?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. First of all, I got to say, I love the dynamic with you and BT, and I don't know if I'm going to say this, you know, BT's not here, but I love it even more when you're by yourself. You got a, I don't know, it's just dynamic. It's awesome. I love it.
Well, I appreciate it, but we look forward to getting BT back tomorrow. Thank you. What's on your mind, Dave?
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I just wanted to hear your opinion on just a thought I had. You know, I don't like to, you know, I don't appreciate when people come and say like these big wild things, but I just wanted to say that when I see the Yankees, I kind of feel like it looks to me like a gambler who is just chasing his losses almost. I feel like for the Yankees to succeed, they got to just restart, forget that they were the Kings, forget that they were the best. I just want to hear your opinion on that because to me, they're always chasing something. A good team doesn't chase something. A good team naturally plays well. It's been 15 years since the World Series. I'm saying
right.
It's been a long time. And I feel, honestly, I want to hear your opinion on this, that as long as you chase it, you're not going to get there because you're not going to be what you were. You could create something new that and they've got great players. But as long as they're chasing, I kind of feel the same thing with the Rangers. But, yeah, I just wanted to hear what you guys say about that.
It's interesting, David, and thank you for the call. I don't know if they're necessarily chasing what they once had or chasing a championship as opposed to trying to build a championship team. I mean, you know, how do you differentiate between the two? I think the Yankees have shown discipline in years past, in recent years, and we as fans have been begging them to do more. Well, they've shown discipline, which shows that they're not chasing. Chasing, let's use it in the baseball term, right? When you chase, you're chasing something out of the zone. So if the Yankees were chasing, they'd be doing something out of their comfort to go try to win a World Series. They really don't want to do it, but they feel they have to, so they're chasing. Matter of fact, if anything, I would say that this year would be the closest to that, but we'll see what happens here in the next couple hours if the Yankees do give up, let's say, Spencer Jones, when you know that normally in years past they wouldn't, sometimes to a detriment. So I don't think that they've been, in your word, chasing a World Series. But they also haven't gotten to a World Series since 2009. Maybe they should be chasing at some point. You love the aggression. You love the fact that the Yankees are generally consistent winners, you know, being in the postseason the majority of the years for the last 30-plus years. But ultimately, at some point, especially with Aaron Judge and this core, him being the leader of this group since 2017, ultimately, at some point, they got to be in the World Series. And maybe this is the year. They went all in with Soto, making that big move, and now they got to stamp it, cement it. And they've got about 4 hours to do so. And I think that they will. I mean, at least on paper. I still don't believe in this team in the postseason, but that's a conversation for a different day. They're going to have to prove themselves in the postseason, which is a gauntlet. You could build yourself to be beasts in the regular season, but one bad series, poof, goes away. We've seen it too many times with this Yankee team. But as for today, I do think they're going to get a big move. I don't think Mark Leiter Jr. is it. I think they'll get a big move. As for the Mets, are they going to get a seat at the table? Are they going to join the party? Are the Mets going to continue to sit at the kids' table and wait? Swim around in the shallow end of the pool? How many more analogies can we fit in here before we say goodbye? Or are you going to get on that diving board and dive in? Me, myself, I'm a cannonball guy. Don't dip your toe in. Don't worry about if the water's cold. Don't worry about what could happen. You jump in. Dive in. It's all there for the taking. The Mets can be taken seriously as a legitimate World Series contender this year with the right moves. They've got 4 hours to upgrade their team. I think they'll make a move. I can't trust that it's going to be the move. A king-like move. But that's what they need. They need their owner to act like a king and take advantage of a rare opportunity that's been put in front of him due to his team's terrific play under all of the circumstances that they've dealt with, all the bad circumstances they dealt with. We'll see what both the Mets and Yankees do, and then we'll be back tomorrow to talk about it. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who called, everybody who listened. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow after the Yankee game, filling in for Evan and Tiki right here on The Fan.